Basically, I grew up not really acquainted with my Syrian heritage. It didn't really relate to Syria. I didn't speak the language, and I didn't really have any friends that were Syrian. And it wasn't until I went to college, I went to the University of Texas at Austin, where I started to meet other Arabs and saw that they could speak Arabic, and just was motivated to get in touch with that part of my identity that I hadn't really explored before. So I went into the university knowing that I was going to study biology and that I was going to be pre-med. I wanted to apply to medical school. And so just on the side, I started taking Arabic classes and I just fell in love with it. And I was really lucky because the University of Texas is the preeminent institution in the United States for learning Arabic as a second language. And so, yeah, like the students there, they graduate. And I mean, I was exposed to it as a child. Like I heard my parents speaking it. So I think it was a little bit easier for me. But even people who've had no exposure, you know, walk out of that university and they can speak Arabic. And so that really just being able to grasp that language really connected me to the region. And it was really my dream that I was going to graduate from the university. If I'd gotten accepted into medical school, I was going to defer for a year and I was going to live in Syria and really just hone my language skills and really make them just optimize them to be able to work with Arab populations one day in the future as like a global health professional. And so unfortunately, right before I graduated, the Arab Spring had already hit, or the Arab Spring had basically was started in Tunisia and then it spread to Egypt and to Yemen and even a little bit in Morocco and of course in Libya as well. And then it came to Syria. So what started out as peaceful protesters asking for just like basic human rights escalated quickly into a civil war. And so it sounds selfish, but I was upset because it ruined my plans of going to Syria. But really, what's heartbreaking over there is that like these people who were living just their day-to-day lives are now caught in like the politics of the whole thing because you have like outside governments like you know Turkish government and Western governments and Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Iran, you know, all of these people have a vested interest in what happens to Syria, and the people who are really suffering are the refugees. Of course, I don't want to speak about the political aspects of the situation there, but suffice it to say that it's really disturbed the lives of so many people. It's forced them to have to relocate to these other countries where they're treated as second-class citizens. They're not able to receive the public health care that used to be so strong in Syria, and now we're seeing cases of polio resurfacing in these populations because the children can't get vaccinated. And just like day-to-day medications and treatments, like people who need hemodialysis, people who need insulin medication, they just aren't able to receive it because medical supplies can't get into the country, and there's just not enough funds to provide that for people who are even living in the refugee camps outside of the country. And so now I'm just more motivated than ever to finish my degree, and I'm a part of the global health program here at UTMB, which has taught me a lot about is the challenges of working abroad and working with populations that that you coming in as an outsider and having and working with these people who like may or may not trust you, and just the realities of like how much medicine can you practice there if you don't have a sterile environment? How can you do surgeries if you don't have all these medications? What are you supposed to do for people who you know exactly what they need, but you can't provide them with the medications and the services, et cetera, et cetera? So yeah, that's basically, you know, when it gets hard to be a medical student, you know, some days are harder than others. I just remember that, you know, that there are people who I want to help one day. And so more than just like being a good physician, I'm really trying to understand more about like the humanitarian situation, human rights situation that are barriers to providing health care. So. I feel so small when I talk about the situation in Syria because I know that I live a very privileged life here, very plush life. I so easily could have still been in Syria if my parents hadn't chosen to come to the United States. I hope that when I talk about their situation, that I don't minimize it in any way or try and make myself out to be this heroine who's going to come in and save the day. It's about the people over there. I hope that the war ends before I even have a chance to go over there. I really don't like to see people suffering, and I'm not in a position to, I don't like to feel like I'm, like I said, just like I'm that I want to go over there and be this huge hero. I just want to serve. So it's really hard to get people to be interested in Syria, and for a Western audience. They hear about Syria and all they really hear is, oh, just another war in the Middle East. Oh, more bombs going off in the Middle East. How typical. They're really like desensitized to the whole thing. And so I've been throwing around some ideas with one of my good friends here. She's also of Arab descent. And so we were thinking about doing like a workshop that would be about it would basically the purpose of the workshop would be to teach people how to do blood draws and injections, and then we were thinking about having a speaker come and talk about the importance of vaccinations because that would relate to the theme of injections. And so we thought maybe we would try to also talk about the global health implications of not having access to vaccines and maybe mention how like this is a serious this is a like the reality in Syria right now, to just try and bring it up in a medical from a medical perspective, just so that people can get interested in it in that regard and maybe like look more into it and see like what's really happening in Syria and what maybe they can do to help. But yeah, otherwise it's very difficult to people see me and they hear that I'm Syrian and they think, oh, you're interested in this because this is something that affects you and your family, but that's not true. It affects everyone because of all the politics involved. So when I first told my parents that I wanted to study Arabic and I wanted to, go live in the Middle East for a year or for however long, I think, for them, it's like, well, why would you want to go there? Everything's so much better here, So I think they probably prefer to see me practice in the United States, and I think I will practice ultimately in the United States. But I'd love, having these medical skills. You spend so many years and you work so hard, and there are so many sleepless nights, and you see so many terrible things just to gain these skills. And I think it's so valuable, and it's something that, that you should use to give back. And I'd like to give back to the Syrian people. So I'd at least like to spend part of my time. But I think for my parents, ultimately, if they see that I'm happy and that I'm safe, then, that's all that matters to them. But I think they do kind of have a hard time relating to that just because, they made the effort to leave. So. And there are a lot of Syrian Americans and Arab Americans like me who, whether they're in the medical field or in politics or in human rights or law school or whatever, who are, like me, who think they're the children of immigrants, but they want to go back and they want to serve the Syrian people. So. The Syrian American Medical Society is a US-based organization that's dedicated to training health professionals to work in Syria, to providing medical supplies to Syrian refugees. So if anyone is interested or would like to find out more about the humanitarian and health crisis in Syria, I urge them to visit that website, and they can donate or they can volunteer, they can find out ways that they can help out. And so I really encourage people to do that.